Interesting text today that is going to be challenging to study, to say the least. And we need to know what it's all about, because some of these things here will require a little bit of history, a little bit of theology, before we can make it apply to us. Okay, so we're going to study this very, very interesting text and then try to see how that applies to us at all, if anything. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to understand these deep things which we read in the Scriptures. We pray, Father, that you will help us to understand the challenges and the difficulties that are there. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to ponder very, very much the relevance and importance of your word to us. We pray that you will give to us that wisdom and bless us, Father, as we read your word together this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we turn to Genesis 15 as well as some of your notes so that you will see this a little bit better. Okay, now we have something that seems almost strange. Now, we have already seen Abraham setting up altars. This is not one of them. Okay? He set up a Bethel. He set up at different places, wherever, at Mamre, and so on. So he set up different places. And those are to mark occasions. God delivered me. This occasion is marked. This mark, that mark. Those are altars that he set up. Good. This is not occasion. Right? This is something even bigger than a so-called occasion. Right? So ordinarily, if he were to set up an altar, he would set up a regular Thanksgiving or whatever. We don't know exactly what was offered. Something is offered. But this is not one of them. It looks the same, but it's not. Right? So we need to understand why this is not, so that we can understand this a little bit better. Okay? So God tells Abram, okay, don't be afraid, I'm your shield. And he believed God. Now, this is critically important. First, there must be that belief in God first. Now, all the rest, he's struggling. Now, he's come to a very definite, full faith in God. And so God accounted to him for righteousness. Right? So the first few were, let's put your right foot in, put the right foot out, right? And that's it. I go to Canaan, okay, but I end up in Egypt. Aha, you didn't get it right. Okay, let's stay here. Right? So bit by bit, I come over here, wow, a lot of enemies. Then a lot of trouble. And then, Lot was the trouble. And so he ended with problems and difficulties. Very obvious. Right? So now all those problems are solved. God is saying to Abraham, now I'm ready to show you something which I have been wanting. It's leading up to this point. Right? Those are just, circuit tests. Drive around the circuit. Not in a railroad yet. Can I drive in a circuit? Can. You crash, never mind, you crash barriers, you crash. No, don't worry. But if you get out in the road, you're going to crash cars. It's a different story. This is now where the real road of life, real test comes. They're not easy things to look at. Right? So this is a very, very vital thing. And this is why this, we need to give time to studying this. And this is why this is important. Okay? First, we must understand this is not a regular sacrifice. There has been no advice given to Abraham concerning what is to be sacrificed up to this point. This time, God is going to specify. See, that's your difference. So please, three-year-old heifer, three-year-old ram, turtle dove, young pigeon, that's it. And you could ask, what is this all about? See, most of us don't understand some of these things here. So that becomes a real problem. This is not your offering that's regular. How would Abraham understand this? Now, this understanding has got to go back to his old background. Right? Remember, he came from an idolatrous family. This kind of offering is actually very common in his past. Not in the present time, but in the past. Right? Now, this is where it's typical. This is the kind of offering that they would make to the gods of the past. Right? But last time, you can make offering, whether you believe or not, not important. Just do it. Right? Just do what you need to do. Whether or not, do you really believe in all those offerings here and there? Not really. The focus in most of idolatrous worship is not personal faith. It's just do what you need to do. That's a lot of difference. So you find Singapore, Plaza Singapura, 7 months, for example. Almost all the stallholders will give some kind of offering. All, almost. Why? Hey, better. Do I really believe? No, no, we've got to do it otherwise. If anything goes wrong, we're all in trouble. See, not because you believe, but because everybody does it. So God has to establish first belief. Other things come later. Last time was, you do all those things here. Do the rituals. Believe, not so important. Just get the rituals right. See, Chinese beliefs is a very strange thing. Chinese beliefs is about getting it right. The rituals must be right. You don't even have to be there when the offering is there. But you got to get it right. You cannot say, I like beef. Can I offer beef to the particular Chinese god? Nobody offers beef. Nobody offers lamb. My lamb chop is very good. Nobody does that. Why? Beef cannot. Because the cow works so hard in the fields. Cannot eat beef. So many older generation people still don't eat beef. Because this. Right? This is why McDonald's never really got off ground in India. Why? How can you say McDonald's beef? How? You have a riot. You have other types, but not the thing here. You cannot have beef patty. Where's the beef? You cannot ask that. You can't. Right? Now, this is very important. Now, in a Kerala group, in New Delhi, there was a group, and they raided them, you know, because they ate beef. They said, hello, you read a menu. You see, notice, it's not beef. It's buffalo, not beef. It actually happened, George, seriously, because they made it. Then they said, okay, yeah, actually it's not, but it's a different word. Same family, but not the same word. So therefore, see, they don't care about whether you believe. The question is right rituals. You must offer this particular thing at that particular time, that number of hours, that number of things, you must say those things. It's all about getting it right. The focus is never belief, just the rituals. You see? So you got to say, right, what time, what kind of color, Whether or not you believe it is not important, but you must wear the right colors. You must say the right things. This is where there was going to be a huge difference. The focus is not just obedience, but faith. So in chapter 15, which is a very critical chapter, the focus is there has to be personal faith first and foremost established. Right? So if their personal faith is not there, all those things here don't mean very much. Right? So you may say Abraham did this, Abraham did that, and that's true. But neither do we see God accepting them or rejecting them. Just note it. Right? There is no, okay, great. From time to time, you see God will accept it. God accepted the special offering of Elijah. God accepted the special offering of Solomon. God accepted the special offering of Gideon. God accepted the offering of Cain. But all the other offerings, no mention. Right? Now, here is one special mention. God was the one who said, and I want you to do this, I want you to do that, but there, this important. Right? Now, this is very different from the Levitical one. This one is a full-grown three-year-old, not a one-year-old, untried, untested. So there were differences. But you watch, the point of it all is absolutely important. Okay? So they were going to bring me a three-year-old, brought all these things, he cut them in two, down the middle, placed each other opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And then the vultures came, and Abram drove them away. And the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Now, there are lots of lessons to learn along the way. Okay? Now, so we're going to try to learn some of these lessons. This is, has got repercussions for future Israel, which they didn't understand. Okay, number one. They're absolutely important. Okay, first, we read in verse 6, he with us be, we believe in the Lord. And he says, I am the Lord who brought you out. So there must be established. You see, we call this, the key word is called a covenant. In a typical covenant, in our language, is called a treaty. In a business language, we call this a contract. But this is a bit more lofty than that. Right? It is really an agreement. Now, in this agreement, there are certain features. Okay? And this agreement is not two ways. Two-way agreement is called a parity. In other words, a bit of God, a bit of man. Then they negotiate. This is not parity type covenant. This is called sovereignty type covenant. In other words, it comes from God to man. Not across, but from God to man. You can't change anything. You can accept or you can reject. You can believe or you don't believe, but you can't change. Right? This is absolutely important. And so he said, this is called the preamble. Always, this is always called the preamble. And this also happens in Exodus 20. God will explain who he is. I am the Lord. That's why establish sovereignty. I am the Lord. Two, this is what I have done for you. I have brought you out of the land of the Chaldeans. Three, I want to give you this land to inherit it. The preamble is whatever God will tell you, what he will do for you. Notice you can't change. There's no asking, Abraham, what do you think? You like it or you don't like it. You either accept or you don't. If you have faith, no problem. If you don't have faith, you have serious difficulty, obviously. Right? So these are the marks of a covenant. Right? One, God will initiate it. You cannot ask for it. You cannot offer it. God has to offer you. What you offer God is worth nothing. What is man to offer God anything? He doesn't need us. Right? You can't offer God, but He can graciously offer you instead. Right? Now, this you've got to understand what this is about. Now, how do we understand this? Usually, that's why the word, the idea of a covenant. In English, we call it make a covenant. In Hebrew, we don't say make a covenant. It's translated, we call cuts of a covenant, cutting a covenant. Not cutting as in actual cut, in other words, cut the covenant. The word covenant is always associated with the word cut, such as the animals. So when God cut a covenant, see, today in English, we say cut a covenant, we don't know what's that. Because we don't have the background of His word anymore. Okay? Now this is very important, for example. Take, for example, the word minion. The word minion is low life. Really, you know, nobody at all. But that is not the original meaning of the word. The original meaning of the word is from the word filet mignon. In time to come, it became derogatory. But this mignon is the same as mignon, spelling, the sound is the same. The filet mignon is called the darling part of the fish, of the beef. The special piece. Today, the way you call somebody a minion is, who are you? You nameless, you faceless, you go, no, you are a nobody. But in the original use of the word, minion is actually a very high word. It's a special word, describing someone as very special. But today, the meaning is so badly lost. You call somebody a minion, you are insulting the person. But in the early days, when you say you are a minion, it means you are special. You are wonderful. You have the most delicate cut of the whole cow. It's the minion. See, the minion is actually what it is. But now, today, the meaning is lost. It's the same way you say cut a covenant. Today, nobody, what are you cutting? There is no cutting anymore. So the word is lost. Now it's called to make a covenant, or give a covenant, or to make a covenant. But in the Hebrew idea is actually to cut a covenant. It comes from the idea of cutting here. Right? So the animals are cut in two. Right? The animals are cut in two, whether they are the heifer, 3-year-old, or we read very clearly, a 3-year-old female goat or a ram. Right? So there's a heifer or the beef, and then the ram and the goats there. Now, the reason is because these are... So we cut into two. In other words, Abraham, you understand, right, what a covenant is? You cannot break this covenant. You break this covenant, you are inviting God to cut you in two. That's how serious it is. It's so serious, may we be cut in two. If we break this covenant, that's how serious. Right? So this is important for us to understand and appreciate. That is the meaning of the... Right? So when we talk about That, for example, what about the offering and all? The wings are split in the book of Leviticus. It's the same way as cutting, although not mentioned. So you get a glimpse of what it is. Right? In other words, it's the wings. If the birds got no wings or wings are broken, the birds can't fly anymore. That's the idea. So take the covenant of God seriously. That's what we're saying. See, most of us just ask for blessing. We don't know how to take the covenant of God seriously, and we should. That's the meaning behind it all. Okay? So this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Let's turn the page. And then we see this important part of it. Right? Why wait until the sun is going down and vultures come on the carcass? Now, vultures, we call the raptor family, and they're there. These are scavengers, and they are considered as unclean birds, and they will come. Every time they see dead, you know, dying, they start circling. And they can spot you miles away, you know, with really sharp eyes, no need spectacles. You know, and go down there, and then they circle. And then once you know it's dead, it will descend. Okay, now Abraham's part, learn this. One, you learn to wait on the Lord. Two, not only do you want to wait on the Lord, okay, you want to defend what you have. And nobody had better come and take away the offerings that are there. You can't. This is why you see when people put offerings on the ground or anywhere, no matter how hungry you are, you don't want to eat them. Right? I mean, you notice those offerings are there. Nobody even dreams, no matter how hungry you are, I'll grab unless you're mentally not so well. But nobody wants to grab anything. Such are offerings. You please take them seriously. Right? So here are the offerings, and they brought them all this to him, cut them in two, and then he drove away all the vultures until the sun went down. Then how come? Because the vultures don't operate at night. They also go away. Tomorrow morning they will attack again. But the sun goes down, the vultures will need light to see. They can't see also. They don't have night vision. Okay, this night goggles, then a light, they don't have that. So if the night comes, the sun goes down, the vultures won't come and attack. They don't. They only attack during the daytime, not the nighttime, because they can't see. Remember, you need light to see. So at night, you can't see a thing. So the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and then that's where God began to speak to him. A deep sleep, horror, great darkness, and he said to Abram, know certainly. Now this is where that revelation of God is there. Okay, so this is where the revelation of God takes place. How does God reveal himself? And this is absolutely important. Okay, so this is an important part of it. Okay, Abram, your descendants will be strangers in a land. Will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years. A nation whom they serve, I will judge. They will come up with great possessions. As for you, now this is very important, for that is the future. Now we must understand it. There is a future. Absolutely important. Right? See, sometimes we all live without realizing there is a future. What you do is going to affect the future. Your faith, your covenant with God will bless the future. So it's very, very important how Eugene must live, because it will be directly a blessing to Daniel. We all do. And that's how it must be. Right? So we must be very, very, very careful about things. You know, okay, this is a blessing. What will happen? Not that they won't have problems. See, they can go face oppression and difficulties, but God will be there to protect, and He will look after them. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Not for a long while yet. Right? But this is very important. In the fourth generation, they shall return here. And this is important. So there are other things it's important. So sometimes when God reveals His plans, please know that there are always different aspects that are being revealed all at the same time. Okay? So one aspect concerning descendants, one aspect. They may go through difficulties, problems, but they will be delivered and they will come back to this land. One part. Right? What about you, Abram? Please, don't worry about yourself. You will live, you'll die at a good old age. How many years you want to live? Right, you will die at a good... No, it's so good to be able to die at an old age rather than die and then, depending on what is old age. You know, in the 1950s and the 60s in Singapore, the average age was only 55 years old. That was it. Then, now it is 77 and more. Right? So we will have a possibility of a ripe old age now. Okay? But it's difficult because the teeth are missing, the eye cannot see, the ears cannot hear, the mouth cannot eat. Why live longer than we need to? To me, I want to go home to be with the Lord. And don't you dare ask me to stay for longer than I need to. Me, functionally, if God has I finished my work, I'm done, I'm going home to be with the Lord. And I have no fears about that. That would be a great joy. Okay, now, then there's another third part about others, the Amorites. These are others. All right, they are the others. Singapore citizen, PR, others. These are the others. All right, so what are the others? Well, look, God has His own plan for them. He's not going to deal with them immediately. He will let them fill up their sins until the bowl is full. And once the bowl is full, then that's it. Your life is over. So there are three sets of plans altogether. And God's plans are never single. It's always involving many, many aspects. And this is only just in brief. Right? But God has to reveal these things to us. Right? So it's not just yourself. Okay? So there will be the descendants. There will be yourself. There will be others. And God's plans are always many-fold, never a single-fold idea. Right? So this was an opportune time for God to reveal to Abraham all the things that he needs to learn. You see, the challenge is for us all to keep learning, to keep growing. My greatest concern is when we all stop growing. And that can happen. We always say we are lousy, we are old already, cannot learn or don't want to learn or no need to learn. Not true. No matter how old, remember, there will always be descendants we can bless. Until the Lord calls us home, we still have got a good old age to look forward to. But you mustn't allow yourself to end up with, you know, a poor state of health of your own doing. I think that is important for us to take note of. All right. So this is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. Or any questions you want to raise up on this whole idea, why God needs to reveal, you know, and why this is important. Right? You know, to me, whenever we study the Lord's Word, watch the next part of it, which is the very, very unusual thing here. And then we see this. Right? And in verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, so the vultures cannot see anymore. Right? But if it's a daytime, the significance won't be there. It's got to be night. If you do fireworks in the daytime, nobody's going to enjoy the fireworks in the daytime because you can't even see there are fireworks. Right? So this is very important. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And this is absolutely important. They just simply represent the presence of the Lord God Himself. Right? And so it could be these two mediums, it could be two other imageries. That's not important. Which, how come smoking oven? And what kind of oven is that? Does it electrical fitting? Don't ask silly questions like that because we really don't know what kind of ovens those are. Is it a tandoori type? What is it type? And we really don't know, but a person will understand that this symbolizes a lot of these things here. What is the smoking oven? What is the burning torch? Both of them represent a powerful presence of God. Right? The oven could represent the whole idea of God's provision, for example. Right? The torch could represent God's giving of light for another. See, but important thing is not to try and press home a message or a word which the Bible doesn't say a whole lot of. But the imagery of the presence of God can't be more certain at this point of time. Right? So from beginning to end, as you look at Abram, and you begin to realize that Abram, God has got to, step by step, you've got to trace your step of life very, very carefully. Okay? From Ur of the Chaldees out to, now we come to Canaan. Okay. Misstep, went to Egypt. Right? So that's called misstep. So 2A, and 2B came back to Canaan. Right? Then there was a bit of problem between Lot and Abram. Right? So split, Abram was blessed by God, rescued the nephew, and so the Lord says, don't worry, I will be your shield. So now chapter 15. You see, so all these things here, so 12, then of course downward, 14 here, now 15. Why is this important? Now, this is how we must trace the chapters of our life. All right? I don't know whether in India you have Manipur. On the roadside, they will, how many miles? 1 mile. You have? Singapore, we used to have that too. Now, no more. But the old style, this is a 3rd mile, 4th mile, 5th mile, 6 mile, 7 mile. We all know Serangoon Road, 7 miles. It's a long road. Now after that, nobody uses it. But particularly, Serangoon Road was the only 3rd mile, 4th mile, 5th mile, 6th mile, 7th mile, because it was a major road. And that was what it was. See, this is just a major road. Okay, Ur of Chaldee out. And then came to Canaan in. Don't go to Egypt out. Stay where you are. And the Lord bless. See, but with the blessing came the greed, unfortunately. Be careful. Blessings are blessings. Greed is another thing. The problem is we're all greedy for more. I think I can eat one more. I think I can eat one more. You end up with diabetes. We don't need the second bowl of rice. We do not need the second bowl of noodles. But we often do that anyway. So we end up with health problems. So how can we overcome it? Well, be careful. Let God bless. Right? So then God says, okay, all things that I've said to you, that I've done for you, I'm going to seal it with a covenant. That's what a covenant is. A covenant has got many aspects. One, it seals it. A covenant seals whatever we have with God. That's why when we talk about a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, called a new covenant, we are sealed belonging to the Lord. That's one part, the seal. Right? But with a covenant, very often, a covenant comes with wonderful revelatory truth. In this case here, God revealed to Abram, okay, you are now, I want to tell you this, no longer the past, but the future. Your descendants will go to a foreign land. You can't see it. Of course, I can. But don't worry, 4 generations later, they'll come out. And they will have plenty of possessions. Don't worry about them. See, God's plans are very long-term, very rich. Unfortunately, we don't have that far-sightedness. And we should look at these things here. And we really, really should look at it. And it would be good if we can do that. What we have, what we do, has got long-term effects. Third, fourth generation. You cannot imagine third, fourth generations. Most of us can't. Can't even think second generation. But it's very important. Okay, so there we go. Of course, what about the Amorites? God has another program for them. Don't worry. God always has plans for every situation, contingency in life. For you, Abraham, I have got this for you, personal. I've got you, for this for you, your descendants. How about all the others who don't know me, don't like me, who hate me? Listen, I've got a plan for them too. You got plans for all three? Yes. You see, this is what we must study. Now, what do we learn from it? What is our greatest challenge? To me, the obvious is that faith in God, not rituals. Faith in God becomes critically important, vital. Right? This is something that we need to look at. So this is what we are looking at. But please cultivate your faith. Sooner or later, we all will die. But remember, live until a good old age. Not miserable like Scrooge, Christmas past. You know, but really, we look at it and say, wow, this is such an important thing. Then our lives will be lived meaningfully. Right? So absolutely important that we live our lives well. For ourselves, for our posterity, don't be like the others. How serious? Very serious. Because the covenant, if we break it, would mean we get cut off. That's how serious it is. That's what we want to do. Now, I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. And if we can understand and appreciate this wonderful truth that are there, then you'll find that our own understanding improves significantly. Imagine God revealing things to us. Imagine God telling us how He will bless us. Imagine our future. How wonderful it is for God to bless the future. Yeah, questions? Go ahead.
So how do you understand the cutting?
The cutting.
Yeah, how do you draw
that? That's his old symbol. That was a traditional symbol. Right? You know, nowadays we all don't do things like that. But in the early days, we always say, cross my heart and hope to die. You know, kind of thing here. If I tell you, I promise I cross my heart, and if I don't keep it, I hope to die. Now, nowadays, nobody says it. Right? Now people will say, I swear on my mother's grave or whatever. But then, oh, you sound very official. But actually, the fellow hates his mother. So no point. So you need to know the background of some of those words. So not very, very, very often. Like Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, you know, things like that. They will use all those. These are old type things here. In other words, if I am not keeping my part, may the bus ram me. May the lightning strike me, then you move aside just in case. You see, this is the old phrase. So in the early days, this was not symbolic language. It was actual physical cutting. All right? Now, if you were to physically cut an animal, then you realize, wow, this is serious. The moment you cut, and you remind yourself, God can also cut me in pieces like that. Whoa. Then you take that covenant very seriously. That is how graphic teacher the Lord is. Okay, I want to tell you, this is what it is. That's what it means.
Then, Pastor, how do we understand it now that we have the new covenant?
Yeah. Okay, now, what about us today, right? No, the learning lessons from God trying to teach is even more wonderful. Because the person who shed, remember, you cut an animal, blood will be shed, right? In other words, the animal will have to die. Same thing. Our covenant is more precious because Jesus had to die for us. That's why we treasure our covenant with God so much. Because it is wonderful. There is nothing like it. Now, that's the whole idea. See, the Lord had to literally cut Jesus. Literally have his blood shed. So that the covenant with God is now sealed. It's now definite. It's now forever. And the blessings are on our children, on ourselves. Don't worry about the others. God will deal with them. Don't need to worry about them. So I'm not afraid of enemies. Not afraid of people who will say bad or evil things against us. They will only bring judgment to themselves. So I'm not afraid of that. Does that help you to see this here? So the covenant concept, if you were Abraham, then you cut. You see, remember, he came from that kind of background where all the time, every time there is the special thing, ceremony at a temple somewhere, animals will be cut. All the time. So they understand the significance of it all. But then the emphasis was ritual correctness. Right? You take, for example, the old Indian story told that sometimes a cow is used for a ceremony. But they have to examine the cow. The cow that is used in the ceremony must be physically without blemish. So they check the ear, the nose, the mouth, the tooth broken, hooves broken, blemishes, there is a mosquito bite somewhere. That animal cannot be used at all. Because otherwise, you will invite the wrath of the God that you're trying to appease. Right? So even if there's a tiny little hole in the ear of a cow, not of anyone's making, it's just that it's born with a defect, that cow cannot be used. See, all the ancient days, they all understood the significance of how serious a covenant is when it is cut or made or given. Today, we don't have that kind of background, you see. So we don't really understand it as much. But if we were to understand this whole idea of how serious a covenant is, we would take very seriously a relationship, the new covenant that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life's blood for us that we may be permanently sealed as God's people. To me, that is huge. Does that help you to answer the question here? So go ahead and raise questions. I think that will give you an idea further better how to understand these things here. Right? See, the reason why we take our faith seriously. Remember, God can bless our lives personally and our descendants secondary. Third, don't worry about enemies. Don't worry about all the negativity. Let God worry about them. You don't waste your time worrying about them. Okay, don't pray, may their bones be broken and things like that. Don't pray such prayers. Right? Just simply focus on how should I live my life? Two, how can I be a blessing to my children? And then the rest, don't worry about it. Just focus on two things. You see, please understand this. What you are, what you do, will be the blessing of your family, of your descendants. You mustn't take this lightly. It is absolutely vital. And where we fail, we will have to ask the Lord for a multitude of mercies. Really, a multitude of mercies. It's not easy. You mustn't think of God as a formula of blessing. When I was in India, many years ago, Pastor, can you bless our cow? And I don't have a cow blessing. Can you bless our telephone? So I said, well, I can have a little prayer for that. And may whoever use the telephone speak only good words. Not scolding the son, the daughter-in-law, not scolding the mother-in-law, which happens all the time. Oh, I mean, that is really, really a tough, really, really a tough time, right? So you have no idea what it is until you get married. Then I didn't realize it. Better to walk with the Lord than to inherit such troubles. I hope you understand, right? So then there are a lot of difficulties. See, so let the blessing come through you to the children. Don't care what citizenship. That is not important. The Lord is important. See, we all care about all the physical things of life. What was Paul? I am a Roman citizen. In the early days, the pride was, I'm from Jerusalem. He said, that's nothing. Because what will protect you? Not Jerusalem, Rome. Right? So there are lots and lots of these wonderful lessons we must learn along the way and rejoice in. Right? To me, as I look at his life, and I am just amazed. What do I need to have? I want to check, firstly, my faith. I really do. Two, I would love to know that God will let me live until a ripe old age. Not too ripe. Now, I hope you understand. Not too ripe, because too ripe, a little fall off. You know, I think we all know. I think there are lots of these challenges. Sometimes people want to live on for length's sake. Now, I no, thank you. I don't want to live for length's sake. How old do you want to live? 200 years? You think you'd like to live 200 years? I don't want. Do you want? 300 years. I mean, seriously, why would we want to live so long for? I mean, all your old friends and I, all the young ones don't know who you are. And then worse, you don't even remember anything. You don't remember them, they don't remember you. Who are you? I don't know who I am. Why want to live that long? I mean, seriously, I would rather not. Right? But no, it's a wonderful promise from God. You live until a ripe old age. It's wonderful. In America, there was an old lady, her name was called Haney. So there was a first time accident. They call it a Mother Haney's Sunday. So they dedicated one Sunday. Little did I know that one day I would also at Perth, at Bethel, dedicate a 100th day, a Sunday to Kath Whitelaw. Now, if you hit 100 and you are still around in our church, we'll be very happy to declare that Sunday after you. Today we celebrate 100th. Today will be what Sunday? George Thomas Sunday. Wow, 100 years old. But of course, I'll reach it before he does. No, I hope you understand what it means. Because it's just something to thank God for. I mean, anything in life. But don't grieve also if our life is not as wonderful. Just thank God for His multitude of mercies. To me, that is wonderful. Okay? So this is now. Simon, how many years you want to live? How many years, roughly? 80 plus. Yeah, okay, 80 plus. Good. Because you're already 80 plus, you see. 80 already a plus, you know. 80 plus. Okay. Now the next question is, what do you want to do with the 80 plus? Let's eat roti prata. You know? No, I hope, we want to live our life meaningfully. Right? So to me, I want to live as long as my mind is sharp. I can serve the Lord. I can do meaningful things in my life. But if I'm every day going to be grumbling and complaining, may the Lord spare all the descendants from me. This is absolutely, may the Lord spare them from me so that I don't have to burden them too much. I mean, what's the point of living? Everybody wish you'll die, but you don't die. I mean, it's terrible. You know, Chinese people are quite bad sometimes, you know. But it's like, we see, but no, not good. You know, Chinese people can be quite rude in that area. Not all Chinese people are good. Some Chinese people can be quite nasty, you know. And how come you don't die yet? Now, but that, you see, when people wish for you to die already, not so good. Yes.
Older, you know, we forget things.
Yeah, okay. Now, I want to teach you how to remember things. No, you don't have to forget things. Not true, you know. Not because of old age. It's not true. Forgetting things is not an old age problem. It's not. The training of the mind. Now, I want to share with you some of this, just since we already finished the lesson, how to remember things. Seriously. It's not old age. It's old age is not a problem. Now, I was reading a very wonderful book written by a man called Art Linkletter. You know, and this guy sold a book when he was in his 80s. Then the latest book was 97. So he says that all this talk about old age means you forget. Not true. It's you train yourself to remember. So you can begin, learn the memory. Remember the Lord's word first. Right? From time to time, there may be lapses. But listen, you can be sharp until you are called a ripe old age. And this is very important. Right? So it's a matter of using the mind, training the mind. Can the mind remain sharp? Yes. If you make sure that you stay sharp. Right? But if you always watch TV, it will not be sharp. Even if you buy the sharp TV. No, it won't be. How to keep the mind sharp? You must read, you must talk, you must really make sure that the mind is used oil all the time. That's very important. All right? Now, I'm serious, you know, I'm talking about how people who have lived until say, what is it? You must never think of your, how old are you, as if your age determines you. My age doesn't determine me. I'm a little younger than you, but I am 1 year shy of 70. And I am not showing any signs of forgetting things. My students do. They forget half the things I teach them. I have to remind them, how come you don't remember this chapter, that chapter? You train yourself all the time, sharp, and you stay sharp. The knife must sharpen. You know, if you don't sharpen the knife, wow, the chicken long time to die. No? Wow, because it takes so long. See, no, you must sharpen it. Then the chicken will die a nice death. A chicken want to peck you. Why? I'm going to die. Let me die properly with some dignity. Please sharpen your knife. So same thing, the knife, the mind can be very sharp. But you must practice it. Okay, so you practice every day what you remember and things like that. I mean, absolutely wonderful if you can remember. The mind can be sharp. You mustn't think and forget it. See, sometimes we grow old. We do too many things. True, because sometimes the things will fade. So you do something, good things, sharp things, best. You will find that the mind will stay sharp. Hide the Lord's word in your heart. Sing songs. Memorize Bible verses. Speak good things, and when the Lord sees you a blessing to people, He will preserve your heart, your mind, your spirit, your joy, your life to bless other people's lives. But if you are grumpy and grouchy, everybody is praying, Lord, take her home. That is not good for us, you see. But make sure that people just love you and just cannot bear for you to go home too quickly. Then there is joy and meaning. Not just sharp, but joy. So look for things like joy. Look, I mean, Abraham was not young when the Lord spoke to him. He was very old already. Right? But you know what? It's okay with God. Age is not a battle with God. But we must do our part. So as I grow older, I try to keep my mind sharp as much as possible. How? I memorize the Lord's word, I sing Him, keep the mind healthy, exercise, you know, do 20,000 steps. You know, I mean, do whatever you can. Eat less of this, eat less of that. Eat the things, you know, I mean, why not? And, those things will help us to be sharp all the time. See, but the problem is we all tell ourselves, I'm old already, you know. But we don't. We mustn't let ourselves go. So keep yourself well-groomed, keep yourself sharp, keep yourself strong, keep yourself healthy, and the mind will remain sharp all the time. You'll be surprised how sharp. Can you remember things other people forget? You'll be surprised. Right? So can the mind remain sharp? That's what I'm praying for. Lord, give me a sharp mind. So every time I'm here, I want to remind you it's possible. So I can discuss Isaiah 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and up to chapter 12 all the way through. No need to read open Bible. My mind, I understand. Why not? See, method of training. Is it possible? Yes. And then the all young fellows cannot. Why? See, this is very important. Is that young ones and old ones? My brain not so good or well you overly utilized. Some brains, very expensive because not used. I would rather mine use so much. It's well used rather than nothing inside. No point, right? So use the mind. Memorize the Lord's word, hide the Lord's word, bring joy, and you will find that you're such a joy to people. And that is absolutely important. See, the problem is that as we grow older, we learn all the bad habits, we grumble, we complain, we're so hot, so cold, so in between, so no good, not sweet, not sour, not salty, it's no good. Stop! Don't dare all that. Dare all the wonderful things. All the wonder, how wonderful you are, how delicious it is, how special you are, how grateful I am. You know, when you speak like that, everybody wants to live until 500 years. Not that we want to live 500 years, but you know, but that's what it is. Right? So this is important. And in the millennial kingdom, if a man dies at 100, he's an infant. You see, this is God's blessing to us. Don't. So you mustn't think yourself. So I'm very, very conscious that as I grow older, I want to be an example to everybody. You can stay sharp. And I plan to stay as sharp as I possibly can. So I write, I look at these things, I study, I read, I constantly stay sharp. I spar with all the people who ask me questions. And then realize, actually, they don't know very much. So not afraid of what degrees you have. To me, there's nothing. See, the sharpness is there. See, that's important. So sharpness is not reading books. It's how you use your brain. Okay? So use your brain wisely and well. But don't fall into the mode of never go into negative zone. The negative energy will trap you and snare you. No, thank you. Mine is sparkles, you know. Positive energy. All that. Wow, sharp. Then man, but wonderful. Okay? If somebody wants to dance with you, yes, go ahead, do it. Don't be afraid. Want to run with you, just go ahead. You want to do roller skating, also can, if you're good balance. Don't stop yourself. Just like George Bush was asked. One day he bought George Bush, asked his Artling letter, how? What do you think? He said, come on, why you feel so old? You want to do parachute jumping? Go! Wow, he was the first president, solo jump. But of course, there were other people watching him, just in case. But he made a jump. I said, wow, that was quite an experience. No, he never did it again, but at least he did it. See, most people are afraid. Why cannot? Don't do that. I mean, seriously. Don't. Maybe not high heels at his age. No need high heels at his age. You know, but at least steady, walk on your own. I remember... And Mr. Tan, who before he passed on. If I help him up the step, he says, stop. I can walk my own. He will never have anyone hold his hands when he walk up the steps. 101, not bad. Right? But But you see, you need to have something, keep your mind open, otherwise you'll forget. You'll forget everybody, everything. But keep your mind sharp. Fill your mind with the Lord's word. That's the best. That's what I like to do. Fill my mind with the Lord and His word. And songs. And beautiful things. Not ugly things. Negative things. My mind got no room for such things. Anything ugly, I don't want to think about it. You want your own, I don't want. Any sour, bitter, nasty, awful tasting thing, I'm not interested. I want just to fill my mind with whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is wonderful. I want to fill my mind with all those things here. And then I find a special joy in my life. You try it and see. I think that would really, seriously. Okay? So don't be afraid of it. If you want to have breakfast morning, I'm glad you came, brother. I allowed you. Don't ever say that. Anybody invites you for lunch, go. Want to go for dinner? I mean, really go. If supper, maybe not, because you cannot sleep at night. But, you know, but seriously, I mean, whatever people like to have, go ahead at your age. Just be fine. If I'm with you, just go ahead. Just want to be careful, but enjoy that life that God has meant it to be. No point going down there and then counting, you know, really, of all the sheep you have counted and fall asleep, there's no use. No point. Live your life meaningfully. Pass on the legacy of a rich life to the children, to the grandchildren. And maybe great-grandchildren, you may have a chance, you don't know. Maybe have great-grandchildren to say, wow, that's a special joy, you never know. Right? So there will be your joy. So these are things to look forward to. Right? So it's very, very, very hard to imagine. But you see, because before you know it, your daughter become grandmother, who knows? It's just, you never know. I mean, when your lifetime, you know, suddenly, this is our joy, our special joy, isn't it? So don't lose sight of these things here. So we just kind of imagine, you know, but that's how we never, that, before you know it, time will catch up with us. We might as well live our life fully, wonderfully, beautifully for the Lord. Right? Go ahead, get your hair permed nicely, get your hair beautifully. You want to try different color, go ahead, don't be afraid. No, I'm serious. Go. Why should you restrict only to one color? You want to do other things? Wow, how do you think of purple? But if you cannot live with purple, then don't. But you know, seriously, we don't worry about this color, things like that. I'm serious now. Okay? But if I were to do different color, they cannot pay attention to what I'm saying. Not because I don't like color, because people are wondering, what? And then they will be either laughing or they're just shaking their head, so they're not paying attention. So I cannot do that.
I cannot color.
You cannot color. Okay, so well, it's fine.
So
then
I have to leave it like that.
Yeah, but that's wonderful. Then that's fine too. Listen to the doctor's advice. Yeah, but then what I'm just trying to say, if you want to have it, that's fine. But if you're going to dine, don't need to, it's fine. That's a beautiful, this is where, this is called a crown of glory, you see. And that's wonderful to have a crown of glory. See, we all don't have that yet. But that's not our glory years yet. So you're all still so young. The glory of young men is their strength. Which sometimes I wonder where your strength is. All right, so you think about it. Well, you're tired. Why are you so tired? I've been having meeting from 7:30 until now. And 1 hour, every hour on the hour. Why am I not tired? How come you're all tired? I also don't understand. Well, the Lord's strength is our joy. And our joy is, you know, is our strength too. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy that you give to us. Help us not to be afraid of old age, but to enjoy the life that you've given to us, to learn and keep learning many wonderful lessons, just to admire the faith of Abraham when he was so much younger then, and then later on to see the lessons we can learn about old age. Well, thank you, Lord, for the covenant we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to treasure our relationship with you, our covenant with you. We'd ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.